views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time zone you might be in today, I appreciate you finding us at Dark Matter Radio with your host, Ronnie McLean, on Black Talk Network. I had a prepared statement that I was going to read out today concerning today's show, which is a great show that we're going to have today, dealing with the DNA. But in the light of what's been happening in the United States, with the two killings and possible hanging over there in Atlanta, Georgia, and the shootings that happened in Dallas, and the other incidents that have been happening around the country dealing with firearms and the killing of people, I have to really, really, really say that today's events that are happening now is something that we have been talking about on this radio station from the very beginning. As I said that last week, George Washington had looked at our indigenous people as one that would be extinct in his lifetime. And this war that's been going on has been going on since the 1400s. And when I was at Adelphi University, there was a class that I had dealing with Black America. At that time, the word African American wasn't really established. And there was a question that I'd posed as to why did not the black people at that particular time fight for freedom and self-determination. And the reason that was given is that they were in such a bad situation, and they were beat down so bad, and they were so weakened that they chose survival instead of a self-determination path. And as maybe a grandchild or great-grandchild of those times, we have come to a point where we're going to have to come to terms with the type of society that we're living in right now. And I know that there's a lot of people out there. I just came off of a phone conference yesterday, a nationwide phone conference, for the ONUS, National Victims and Police Brutality Terrorism Committee. They're out there, they're getting ready to put out some legislation where they're going to be able to track the police departments and do a lot of great things for them to be able to try to solve this problem with inside of the system that we're in. And I listened to the voices of all of the females that were on there who had lost their children, who got killed by the system, by police officers. And the tears, the anger, the sadness, and the weakness that I heard coming from them was devastating. And all I can think of is that the inaction of our people, to protect our indigenous people here on this side of the earth, has now come to a point as to where we cannot turn a blind eye. And even though you see a lot of these things that are happening out there, it is not in terms of possibly our people shooting and killing police officers, which I have a difficult time believing. And when you begin to start really looking into a lot of the things that are happening in that particular situation, it becomes quite clear that there's a lot of questions. But the right to self-determination is going to be the only way at this particular time that we're going to be able to solve the problems for our people. And I don't mean by going out there and blowing up stuff, taking to arms, rioting, and marching anywhere. I'm talking about a cool, calm collective with a mindset of controlling our emotions and bringing us to a point as to where we're able to do what needs to be done. Malcolm X says that this government has failed us, that this government has brought us to a situation as to where we are fighting for the very existence of our lives, of our species. Malcolm X also said that Plymouth Rock didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. And Martin Luther King said, after 100 years, we still find ourselves languishing in our own land. And at this point in time, I believe that after all the phone calls that I've been getting, that we are continuing and going to establish a united front line to file UN resolutions at the UN, and we're hoping to do this within the next couple of months. So more information is going to be coming out on that. So to bring it down with the news of today, it's important that you know that your cries are being heard. And it's important to know that I know that our children are being killed. And the pain and the anguish that you're feeling is beyond belief. And it's not going unnoticed. And I know that there's a lot of you that I spoke to that are just so weak now, so beat down that you can barely even stand. So now what I'm saying is that we will stand for you. And when you can't walk, we will walk for you. And those who are unable to speak for themselves because they're so tired and so emotionally ridden, we will speak for you. So we will do everything in our power that we can to make sure that we are able to have a right to self-determination so that we have a chance to be able to educate our children and bring our children up in a world as to where they don't have to fear being killed before the age of 15 or 20. So this is what's happening. Not a government within a government, but something for our own people, our indigenous people here on this earth, on this side of the earth. And I can name to you almost 200 types of Indian tribes. Most of them been wiped out. Over 100 million people since the 1400s. And not all by disease. And then there's been a lot of people who also have come over in the slave trade, as you have noticed in the last couple of shows that we put in. So we are people that are mixed people now that have been mixed in with us indigenous people here on this side of the earth. And as a promise to God that our forefathers have made, we will make sure in this generation we keep our promise and make sure that our future generations, and it takes about 3 generations in order for you to be able to heal such an emotional rift such as this. And this isn't about race. This ain't about hating white people or separating ourselves from any denomination of anything. This is about survival of a species. And our race right now are mixed with every denomination of human background that you can think of. And so that's the reason why I use also the term indigenous, which our guest who is getting ready to come up has explained why that term is so important. And I also use the term a meridian, because it's a term that is inclusive. But that indigenous term, as he was explaining, is a legal term that can be used with inside of the UN and with inside of the world governmental system, that we can have a leg to stand on in order for us to be able to provide for our own. So if you're too weak to stand, we'll stand for you. And I know that there's a lot of fear, but what I'm saying to everyone out there that can hear the sound of my voice, there are a lot of intelligent people that are working on this situation. And we will, at the end of the day, be successful. We will prevail. And not only will we move beyond what we're in now, but we will begin to be able to deal with the other things that are happening on the face of this earth, such as GMO, nuclear power plants leaching into our river systems, such as objects in space heading towards Earth that they're not telling us about. Our history. We know more, as I told you, about the Far East than we do about the history here on our own land. And this is going to give us a chance to be able to present to the world who and what we are. So I say, hold on. Hold on. Because we are going to be able to make it through these difficult times. And there's going to be a lot of help that's going to be coming your way. And with that being said, there's a lot of, because of these incidents, I just need to bring this up, because of these incidents, the Onus National Victims and Police Brutality and Terrorism Committee has also brought out how, when these crimes do happen, the financial toll that it takes on all these families. I mean, you wouldn't believe that some of them lost their jobs. A lot of them go through a lot of mental breakdowns and aren't able to work. So if you can, just log on to that website and give as much support to these people, to these women, to these families as possible. Because when you lose a child or a husband, family member, it's devastating. And in our society right now, we are dealing with a serious, serious, serious mental, social, psychological disparity beyond belief. And it's going to take some time to deal with it. But first, we need to be able to put ourselves in a situation to be able to deal with it. And if you look at this as an abuse case, if you're abused, you can't get healed by continuing living with the abuser. So, you know, a lot of people come up and say, well, you know, you want to segregate. This is not about segregation, because there's a lot of people who are melanated and non-melanated. They're in the same situation that we're in right now. And if you want to continue to be an African-American, for whatever reason that you have, that's your choice. Stay right where you are. But I'm asking the rest of us, when it's time, please support those who aren't able to support themselves. So when it comes down to the DNA of it, it's just not in our psychological DNA profile, although you see a lot of violence around, to commit such acts as what we're seeing today. We originally are a peaceful, loving people. And this is one of the reasons why when the Europeans came over here, we actually took care of them. We fed them. We taught them how to feed themselves. We actually taught them how to brush their teeth, how to bathe properly, because when they came over here, it was a disastrous mess, and our people looked at them as hopeless beings, believe it or not. But there's a lot of people who come from a lot of these different tribes that are all over the United States, and can't find their heritage, and don't know why. And the guest that I have on tonight, which I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves, has over 2 million hours of educational material that has been watched on television, YouTube, and other platforms. And they also are educators in the school systems for over, I believe, 30 years. And the young man that you're getting ready to hear, Tavis, he is an exceptional mind, and it is a pleasure to have these two on. Could you please now introduce yourself as we continue?
Yes. Good day, evening, whatever it is where you are. My name is Renee Sanders. Of indeed, my son will, I'm sure, give you a longer explanation of what indeed is and what we do. Yes, I am an educator. I have taught in a few different states, like I said, for over 30 years. I've had a school also, and just enjoyed passing on information to my people.
And peace. My name is Reta Hawk, also known as Tavis Sanders. We're the co-founders of INDEED, which stands for Indigenous Education, Enrichment, and Development. And our goal is to educate the public, the general public, not any particular group of people, because we feel that this information is necessary for everyone to know. And it's also paramount for us to be open to learning new information from other people. Nonetheless, education, enrichment, and development are the stages that we would like for our nonprofit to go through in the development of the new information age, as we call it, and us as a people being able to critically analyze and reason with this new information that we now have available to us that we didn't have available to us before because of the colonizing system, and I guess what every government would do, which would be to propagate its information and not necessarily share the whole of the story. And so with that, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for that introduction. Unfortunately, right now, we are in a very difficult time. There were a couple other things that happened over the weekend that I have not seen aired where you can actually see footage of more of us leaving here too soon. And so now what we can do, beyond the education, is begin to start to enrich our lives by assimilating this new information we have and then developing ways and means to share the information, to establish new means and ways for you to care for your neighborhood, for your property, assimilate new information so that you can understand the small details on how the politics work and how legislation might be able to get passed through easier or cleaner, or just how to write things in a better place. But again, thank you very much. And we hope we can share some information with the audience tonight.
Well, I tell you, I am extremely excited to have both of you two on the show tonight. And you've done some amazing educational YouTube videos. And could you just explain a little bit some of the videos that you've done and some of the names of them? Because I know you two go far beyond the matter of DNA and get into so many different educational things, and I just want to just take a little bit of time to get a little bit into that background so that people can have an understanding of how important your work is.
Okay, so I guess maybe what we can do is I can bring up the show, and maybe my mother can drop a fact about the show just to give the audience a perspective on maybe one or two. I guess one of the shows that get a large number of views is the Black and Native Americans. All of our shows are titled An American Deception. However, this particular show, I think this is episode 3 or 4, is entitled An American Deception. And in An American Deception, Blacks and Native Americans. And in this episode, we are speaking in reference to an Ebony article that talked about Blacks and Natives and was kind of leading people away from identifying themselves as Native with some of the false myths that they float around as facts. And so we wanted to just break down some of those myths and give people some factual and reference-based information that they can go on. Maybe my mother might want to share one particular fact. Do you have anything in mind?
I really I can't recall right now.
Well, you know what? Listen, one of the shows, if you don't mind,
yep,
one of the
yep.
things they spoke about was the term Negro. And in the article, if I'm not mistaken, one of the points that they stated was that, the Negro population mixed with the Native population. And while that is correct and true, we have to understand during those times, they used the term Negro and Native interchangeably. And so just to be identified or labeled as a Negro did not necessarily mean the individual was not indigenous to the land. They just was describing their skin color. And so, you know, those are some of the things that definitions, I'm going to say, that has changed over the years that would lead us now from the education that we have received to dismiss small nuances like that and to keep the keep the myth perpetuating.
And that's very interesting that you bring that up in terms of the word Negro, how they classified the indigenous Indian population when they first came over here as Negroes, and then sodomized the term with combining it with any other melanated person that came over here on this side of the earth. And when you guys were doing one of your shows, you brought up the Jet magazine and how they had some disinformation or information in there that you quantified not to be so true, and you actually broke it down very, very, very interestingly. So I'm imploring everyone to go and turn on your YouTube channel and look at American Deception, and to take a look at that and actually get some really good insights as to what's actually going on out there in terms of us as a people.
If I may.
Yes.
The magazines are entertainment magazines. And so millions of us read it, and, you know, millions of us get information from the magazines. But they're entertainment magazines. And so they're not held to a standard of liability to which they would have to dictate truth-telling or fact-telling. You know, so, you know, with that being said, I just wanted to... the audience to identify and recognize that these are not reliable sources to gain information that we should be making family and life-changing decisions decisions on. They're Jet magazine, Ebony magazine, you know, even the news that we watch on TV is entertainment, and so they don't necessarily have to tell you the facts or the truth, and that's a law. So I just wanted the audience to understand that, too.
So let's get into the DNA, then. Let's get into what are some of the facts and some of the interesting things that we need to know about our indigenous culture and how it relates to DNA?
Well, that's very interesting, because there is really not any test that will define what your ancestry is. They just cannot do this. It is all a big guessing game, and they're using science for this guessing game. Now, you know, people will say, well, science is accurate. Yes, well, it is as accurate as the humans who are performing it. So there are going to be issues, and the, with the DNA, because it is so new, that people, you know, even these companies, they don't even test the same DNA strand. If you go to Ancestry.com and you get some genetic testing done, the results that you get from them may be totally different from ones that you may get from 23andMe, which is another genetic testing.
Interesting.
So even with every place where you go, you may get different results because the DNA strand is so long and companies have not decided which ones they're going to work with or how they can decide that. And so you have all these different results, and people need to understand that when they're doing this. And
is
that's
it true?
Just need to decide that they need to know.
Yeah, is it true that they use a European-based DNA as a as the basis for all DNA testing?
Yes, he's labeled .0, and this was done, I believe, and I don't have the information right in front of me, but I think it was in 1982, which is when they first got the entire DNA strand. They got it from a white person from England who was maybe in his early 20s, I think, when they finally did this. And again, I don't remember the backstory about that person. However, it is from a modern-day person that they just randomly got the DNA when they tested it, and they found the whole DNA strand, and so that is what .0 is. And so what they say that they do is that they will then test, you see, it's strange.
Yeah.
They found the things in that person that was supposed to connect them to people and previous and ethnicities and things from previous generations. Now, again, it's very technical, but again, it was a white man in 1982 England.
So that's very interesting, because when you go to Ancestry.com, and or, you know, some of these other DNA testing sites, they take a sample of your DNA, which doesn't necessarily have to be your blood, could be saliva or anything like that. Then they send it off to this, I guess, a company, and then the company, as they're testing your blood, testing your DNA, your genetics, they base it on the .0 person.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they begin to start building out your quote unquote suppose of DNA history.
Yes.
that's very the other question that I wanted to ask you, as we begin to start getting into this, is that there were quite a few. Indian nations that were completely wiped out. Do they have any kind of samples of these past Indian indigenous people where we can actually find out exactly if we're from there? Do they have enough samples from them?
Well, of course they don't. There were thousands of tribes over here in the Americas. And so they only have a select few tribes. And then we also have to remember what year that these samples may come from. Even if they could have found some blood from the 1800s, the 1700s, or maybe even the 1600s, that does not... The people that were here in the 1600s, some of them weren't here in the 1500s. So how can you say then that they were, you know, that they are from America? Also, the bloodlines, they were so mixed by the 1700s, even the 1600s, where the Europeans had already been here for over 100 years. And so, so even the people who they do have this the genetics from, how do we know that they were a quote-unquote full blood?
Yes, and as you know, I can give an example. Let's say the Irish came here, or the Scottish came here as a part of an indentured servitude that they owed to the England kingdom.
Yeah.
And when they get here, they serve out their 7 years, and now they get a piece of land and things, and they're pretty friendly with the natives. They don't really cause too much harm with the indigenous population. And so they become friends with them. They begin to trade with them, and the indigenous population looks at them as an individual that could help and assist, because, you know, they've developed a relationship over the years. Now it's been 10, 15 years they've been here. Now they fall in love and they marry an indigenous woman, but because it ain't no other women over here, they're not shipping white women over here yet. And so, yeah, okay, well, it's this native woman here, and I love her, and I'm going to marry her, and we have a child. And now that child is both native, and he's also white, you know, Scottish, Irish, whatever. Now that child can be seen as a part of the tribe, but as far as the colonizing colonial peoples are concerned, that they would have recognized him as a chief, because he was able to negotiate, he was able to speak both languages, he was able to navigate both worlds, and so
yeah.
They looked at him. And now, if he's the chief and he's of mixed blood, and we're testing that blood and having finalization on what is and what is not an indigenous individual, through history alone, we can see why it would be faulty.
Plus, again, because of all the numbers of tribes that were here, and especially the dark-skinned tribes that got assimilated, of course they don't have the DNA from those tribes. You know,
okay, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back. And we're going to finish. We're going to continue the conversation with our guest dealing with DNA. Please pay close attention, because you might be able to find out where you're from or where you're not from. You're listening to Dark Matter Radio with your host, Ronnie McLean, on Black Talk Radio. To reach Dark Matter and to talk to Ronnie, log on to Black Talk Radio. Look up Dark Matter, click on the icon. You can reach Ronnie through Skype, or through the telephone number that is provided. Dark Matter Radio with Ronnie McLean. Illinois Indians, Indiana Indians, Iowa Indians, Kansas City tribes, Kentucky Indian tribes, Louisiana tribes, Maine Indians, Maryland Indian tribes. We even have tribes up as far as Alaska and as low down as Peru. And some of their names were Chickasaw, Chinook, Comanche, Cree, Crow, and as our guests are describing, a lot of these tribes were dark Indian tribes. In fact, they were the first tribes that the European had actually come in contact with. And also, a lot of these tribes, after they were defeated, were thrown into slavery, such as the Natchez people, sold by the French into slavery into the West Indies. The Cree of Georgia were slaves in Central and South and across North America. The Wapapanko tribe, Martha's Vineyard, believe it or not, Wells syndrome, and they that killed some of those diseases killed about 40% of them. Some of those tribes, and the DNA is all over the place. As we continue our conversation with our guest, and it's very interesting that as we were talking about how the ability to be able to track who we are because of a lack of sample from all these different tribes. And how that they were mixed in together with Europeans and some Africans as well as some African Europeans that came over here. That it's very difficult to track out DNA and.
They cannot track the DNA. Yeah. It's impossible to track that DNA. They can't do it yet. Scientifically they can't, and they know that they cannot. However, we are living in a very capitalistic world, and they know that they can make money off of what little information they can give you based off what they know now to be true, which they know will not be true 5 years from now. And so I just wanted to say it's not right, it's incorrect. I'm being blunt. It's just it's false information that they are giving everyone.
Well, you know what, I wouldn't say false, but like you said, it is correct for as much information as they have at the moment. And the thing is that we need to realize that they know a very small, minute part of this DNA strand and being able to trace ancestry in this manner. They know that it is very small. Like I said, each place is doing a different test, you know, with different results. I saw today on Facebook where there was a person who is being defined as an African American, and when they got their DNA test back, it said that they were 75% Asian.
Interesting.
You know, so you know, it's people just need to realize that it is really it's a novelty, and you're spending a lot of money, you know, on a novelty, because like my son said, 5 years from now, the information is going to be different, and just think, 50 years from now, this will be antiquated what we know now.
I have an article here, and it says that DNA genetic ancestral testing cannot deliver on its promises, study warns, and that's from the it's from AP. They put that out, and it goes on to describe how faulty these tests are and how unreliable they are. So let me ask you this question: when it comes down to being able to identify where you might be from, Is it the historical record of families by word of mouth, as we used to do back in the days, by storytelling and stuff like that?
Well, that is your beginning, your storytelling, and you pay attention to it, because there is going to be some accurate information there, but there may also be some that isn't. So now what you do is from there you have a starting point, and then from there you have to know some history, and you're going to have to know history about the area where your family was from. You're going to have to know how the people got to that area, where they may have traveled from another area. It's going to take a lot of research, and it's not anything that you would probably be able to accomplish in a year or two or three. You know, you really have to be in it for the long haul, because you're always going to be discovering something new along the way, because things are always changing. But yeah, those family stories is your beginning. And then you go to the earliest place where you know your family is from and start searching papers there. Go to archives that are there. If you can get to the places, that is the best thing, that where you can, if you can physically get to those places and get into those courthouses where you can maybe search obituaries or search cemeteries. There's even information on some of those, you know, some of those places you may find out they may have like the term Indian Negro somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, there we go. Okay, I just found some information which I did not know. You know, so, okay, and did you want to say something else, Travis?
Well, yeah, I wanted to play devil's advocate and say that, you know, they burnt down a lot of the archives, and specifically in the South. You know, so some information, some of us will stop for us. And I just wanted to state that for those individuals whom, you know, they get frustrated because their information, it seems to just, you can't go any further. That's why my mother said that the history is important, because if you can relate what was actually happening, what were we using terms to identify people as, what was that the mood of the times, how was slavery actually being conducted, you can kind of figure out, okay, how do I actually tie in to that area of land, how my family does, where did this last name come up? You know, so history is very important once you reach that end point, which all of us will eventually, because we didn't have those documents that the Europeans are able to go back to Europe and follow.
For most of us, that ending point is 1870, because that is the first census where black people were counted. Before that, in 1860, it was still slavery, so black people were not counted in 1860. So most people run into that brick wall at 1870. Now, there are some people who will be surprised to find that their ancestors were free.
That's right.
And so they will be able to even go back even further. And you know, and so they will find a lot of different information. So, but for a lot of people, that 1870. But then, like you said, from there, then you must go into history and learning what they were doing with the people, what indigenous people were in that area at that time. Did they move from another area? What were the names of those people? What were the last names of those people? And what was the movement of them previous to that? Where did they go? Did they move out of state? What happened? Who was the slave owner? Maybe you need to just track the slave owner. Sometimes you have to do that. But a lot of those slaves, again, people have to remember that a lot of them were the indigenous people that were already here.
And that's a good point, because most people when they're tracking their ancestry don't realize, or are totally ignorant of the fact that a lot of the slave trade happened with inside of the indigenous communities that were already on this part of the earth. So as they were being conquered and as their towns were being slaughtered and destroyed, those that were left alive were carted into slavery or shipped off. There's a report. It's reported that more than 50,000 indigenous males by a certain time before the 1800s were shipped off to Europe, and then also found themselves on the slave market in Africa. So a lot of times, that's why one of the reasons why a lot of people say that the slave trade didn't happen, but it did. That a lot of our people were carted all over the place, over to the West Indies. They're indigenous, and even the Puerto Ricans. The Puerto Ricans are having a difficult time tracking down their ancestry and they're deep into understanding that they also are indigenous of this land.
Oh yes, all of those islands, those were the first places where those Europeans landed before they got here to the mainland. So they were the first people that were devastated by the Europeans on the islands.
Yeah, it was. And one of the first stories that I read, one of the stories that I read about the first visits of the Europeans on the islands was that when they were trying to put them into slavery in the beginning, the females were actually self-aborting to prevent their children from entering into a system that they didn't want them to be born into. So long-standing, interesting history that we have here, and this stuff about DNA and how it figures into where we're all from and trying to figure out how we're from makes me think of the foster care system. And how does this tie into that is that when I was in the foster care system, one of the most devastating things about a foster child is that when he gets adopted, his name changes. And when his name changes, he loses all sense of anything of his past. Because now his name is assumed by the adopting parent. But then when the adopting parent is unable to handle that child and they give him back to the system, his name doesn't change back to his original name. And he becomes how most of our people are today, lost in their DNA.
If I may, with reference to the DNA, our show is entitled, this specifically reference in DNA is entitled DNA, the New One Drop Rule. And that one drop rule, if for those who may not be informed, is a terminology that they use for court rulings that basically stated that if it had one drop of slave blood, it was African in descent. You know, and you know, we've been talking about how the natives were being enslaved since the time of arrival, and so for a court decision to be put in place, very contradictory to the facts. When you put it into a graph, you see that the dark-skinned native would be excluded from being able to be identified as native because of a so-called Negro or African ancestor. However, when you switch and you use Caucasians and a native, the Caucasians are now able to be called Indian, although they have lesser blood, as they would consider blood quantum, than the dark-skinned individual now being called Negro. And if you see the show, you'll actually be able to see the charts and you'll be able to follow along. But again, it's the same chart. That court ruling would be equivalent to the same chart that you would use to sequence a DNA now. And the point being, the farther back in history you go, the more their testing results will leave out of your ancestry.
Interesting. That is a great point that you brought up, and very, very, very useful information, because the corporate laws of the United States, or the United States Corporation, has instituted laws that to help define the definition of what you are in terms of your DNA. With that one drop rule.
Yes, exactly. They started it before that by, even in 1866, which still that which was maybe about 50 years before the court ruling that we're talking about. But even in 1866, they were saying that that if you had one fourth Negro blood, then you would be colored, you would be considered a colored person. But then, if it was the other way around, then if it was one-fourth Indian blood for a white person, then they could be considered Indian. So that was in 1866, and that was just one-fourth of, so that's talking about a grandparent or a great-grandparent. But now, when you get, like I said, 50 years later, and in this court ruling, they're now saying, look, it's not even one-fourth. It changed from one-fourth, it changed to one-sixteenth. And then after the one-sixteenth, if you have one drop of slave blood. And it's interesting that they say slave blood, because people also have to realize that there were white slaves also. But that's another show for you.
Yeah. It's also interesting that you use, and I think our time is coming to an end almost, but it's also interesting that you use that word Negro, because that word Negro was applied to the indigenous people when they first landed on this side of the continent. Is that not true?
Oh, yes.
That's very true.
Yes, so if you have to look into old books, so you can't look into a book that was dated 1970. Go back and look in the copyright. Go into Google Books and find some of those old books that are that were written in the 1800s, and you will see that you will see the term Indian, but you will also see them calling the Indians Negroes, and it happens all the time. And
you can find it in Columbus's journals. Columbus's journals will use the term Negro to define the peoples that he just ran into. And so, up until recently, did that terminology change as far as the indigenous population is concerned?
So, I mean, it's interesting as we begin to start closing the show. It's interesting that you bring all this stuff up, because it comes into mind of all the different types of pseudonyms that they placed on the indigenous beings that were here in this country, from Negro to Black to Colored to
Quadroon, Octoroon, Quintoon,
Mestizo. Mulatto.
Sambo. No, that was a real terminology that was a cross between, mm-hmm. I believe it was a cross between a native and an African.
That's what a Sambo really was.
And Negro means black in Spanish. And Columbus was sailing under the Queen of Spain. So he can describe their skin color. He used the term Negro. So every human being that he's seen as he was coming over here, he described them. And he also, I believe, described them, as other explorers described them, as the color of Ethiopians or darker. And remember, Africa was not really a popular term at that time. They called Africa at that time Ethiopia.
That's correct. Atlantic Ocean was the Ethiopian Sea.
That's – yeah. I have to ask you this question. Will you be willing to come back on again for another show, so that way we can really further discuss some other things that are extremely important for our people to know, in order for them to be able to recognize who they are and have a chance to be able to define themselves other than what they have been defined for themselves?
Sure.
I wouldn't see why or not. But we appreciate you inviting us on this evening. Thank you very much for allowing us to share some information with you and your audience. Thank you.
So we have about 5 minutes left, and I want to take some time for you to be able to promote yourself in your channels and your educational programs, and even some of the community things that you're doing out there, such as the community cleanups that you have going on during the summer and fall times. And could you just explain some of the things that some of the other things that you're doing as well?
And you know what, if I may take the time to share something specific with relation to what we're dealing with right now, Instead of just speaking about it, I personally decided to take action and actually wanted people to be able to view what an indigenous individual of my nature would look like. And, you know, I'm from the city. I've lived in the country and I love the country, but I was raised in the city.
Yep.
And you know, it's a detachment that some individuals might see, you know, being from the city, living that city life, but then, and, you know, learning of their indigenous status and trying to figure out what to do. Well, I wanted to incorporate, specifically, I wanted to incorporate some of the natural things that we as indigenous people do to take care of our mother earth. And so through the nonprofit, we really wanted to, and for no one else's except ours, and to show that our children, that we are personally responsible for the environment that we are inhabiting. And while we may not be able to affect immediate change 500 miles away, we can affect immediate change on our block and around our neighborhood, and we can approach all of the various entities that are cohabitating in our environment right now, such as officers and the government and our life, to be able to go to the people, to be able to know who you are, and be able to confront individuals and speak to them and greet them with a welcome, and to notify them that I am an indigenous individual from here. And with that, these are the things that I am interested in doing to help promote some kind of awareness in our neighborhood. And so for us, sometimes it's the cleanup, sometimes it's the free educational presentations. We threw it up on Facebook, on YouTube, in order to give people some free information. But we do also offer a lot of different specific presentations to individuals. And so I'm just saying to individuals, you know, I walked into our police precinct years ago and met with the chief and identified myself as the chief and informed him of where I am, this is my family here, this is where we are. When you see us, we'll have our red shirts on and we'll be cleaning up your neighborhood and our neighborhood, and we may even come here and clean up from time to time. Now, I don't know every officer, and I definitely get harassed from time to time as a black man here in the United States. I got harassed a couple weeks ago with my two little nieces in the car. However, I am at least putting forth an effort, and that effort is something that it will definitely affect the change once enough of us start to put forth the same effort in the same direction toward prosperity and the healing of our earth, our planet, and taking care of our land.
So with that being said, that's very interesting, because with that being said, I remember when I was in school, and they would say everybody had a place where they were from. You know, I'm Irish, and I'm from this part of Ireland, and I'm British, and I'm from this part of British, and my family's part of this. What would you say to young people right now, and even older ones, when somebody comes up to them and they say, well, where are you from?
I'm from America. You born here? If you're born here, you're from America, no matter what they choose to identify or classify you as. I'm not even going to start naming all the different categories that they could put us under. And that's one thing that we have to understand. And as human beings, we would just naturally want to care for the environment that we are in, whether we were born there or not. Now, you know, we can get into politics and, you know, the education and things, and then it becomes very specific. However, for the general listener who may be listening this evening, you're American. You know, however, you know, for those individuals whom can trace their ancestry to an extent that would extend beyond the normal everyday information, then I would consider you to be an indigenous individual. And I say indigenous because all of the other categories of identification that the United States has created to categorize and label the people throw you under their jurisdiction. However, the term indigenous has a world effect. Other nations acknowledge the term something that they don't acknowledge Natives. They don't acknowledge Indians. They don't even they can't and to create a they don't have a definition in their legal system in order to protect us if we were to go run over there and say that. However, as indigenous peoples, the United Nations and other countries whom have ratified the rights of indigenous peoples allow those individuals whom can trace their ancestry to a particular region whom are, you have to fall under a variety of different categories, all of which the blacks of America fall into, by the way. Nonetheless, that indigenous allows us to establish an autonomous function, a self-identifying function, and therefore a self-determining function for us and our people.
And with that said, very well spoken. Our time has come to an end, and I have to thank our guests for coming on tonight to Dark Matter Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. And of course, the open invitation for them to come back again to join us, and join us next week as we'll continue our conversation as to who we are as people and what we can do in order for us to be able to improve our situation. And please check out our podcast and share it with other people around so then that way they can get the information such as tonight. So when you when you're listening to our guests, think of a Deception. Check them out. Thank you very much, guests. This is Dawn. I don't know. Go home.
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know if I should. Let's hang out. Thank you.